Praise God. Are you excited for the Word?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Me too. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew chapter 8. Knowing you, praise God, that ought to be our ultimate pursuit in life. You know, this world's going to pass away. Amen. This world's going to pass away, and you know, the pursuits of it. Yeah, the Bible says God's given us all things richly to enjoy, and I'm thankful. But my pursuit and my main focus needs to be on Him, because this world's going to pass away. And even if I get to 100, even if I get to 100, eternity with Him, that's going to be such a small thing. Amen? And so I encourage you, you know, people get off into wrong things and they get off the plan of God and they start living their own way and doing their own things and getting messed up and in trouble because their focus is off. Put your focus on Him. Amen? Put your focus on His plan. Put your focus on Jesus and what He did for you. Glory to God. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We're just so grateful to be here. Just so honored to be in the house of God. All that you've done for us, Father. We're so thankful. And you've given us your word. Father, we have no reason to stumble, to falter, to fail, to walk in defeat. Father, to live in depression, fear, worry, being bound in chains, Father. You said if we would know the truth, it would set us free. So, Father, it's up to us to know the truth. It's up to us to live the truth. So, Father, we're going to preach truth this morning. And, Father, I thank you. You know what everybody's dealing with here this morning. You know everybody's heart's desire. You know what everybody's going through. And I don't, Father. And you know exactly what everybody needs to hear this morning to walk out of here blessed. So I thank you, Father, that as I open my mouth, you speak through me today. I thank you. I speak as the oracles of God. I thank you. It's words in season for people. And Father, it'll be like I'm speaking directly to that person and that this whole service was just for them, Father God. And it'll be a sign unto them that you love them and a sign unto them that you care about them, Father God. And we thank you that we're going from glory to glory. We thank you we're going to be better here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read down through verse 17 so you can follow along. But what I want to point out to you, kind of give you a headline or a preview of what you're going to hear, you're going to see four different accounts of physical healing in people's bodies here. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1 through 17 is some of my favorite verses on divine healing. It's only 17 verses, yet in those 17 verses is packed so much good stuff on the subject of divine healing. And you might say, well, he must be talking about healing today. I don't really need healing. Well, let me just say this. Last night, I preached along the same lines, and there was so much utterance for different things, and so many people were blessed. See, God knows what you need, and just because we're talking about healing, if you don't need healing, don't tune me out. You might need healing someday, or other people might need healing, but God will speak to you. We took rabbit trails last night, and we're just going to trust God for utterance this morning. Amen? But healing's a good topic to talk about. It's amazing as a pastor, I see two things majorly what people go through. Number one is financial problems, that the number one thing people talk to me about. The second thing is physical problems in their body. Now, these aren't exclusive. Of course, there's other things that people deal with. But I'm talking as a whole and in the majority. That's the main thing what I see. And so we need to teach on these things. We need to teach people about healing. So that way when sickness and symptoms try to knock on your door and show up in your life, you'll know what to do and you'll know what God said about them. So Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, or that's a little blind to us in the King James, he's saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, or I am willing, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no man, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So there's the one healing, the leper, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will, or I am willing, to come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Again I say to you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go your way as you have believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. There's the second account of healing there. So now we have the leper, now we have the servant. And verse 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Jesus is even interested in healing mother-in-laws. I mean, I can say that with the, I don't even probably think my mother-in-law's listening, but I have the best mother-in-law, so I always can make jokes with her. She'll come over and I'll say, you know, you're the best mother-in-law I've ever had. You know, just love, you're just the best one I've ever had. You know, I've only had one. But, you know, anyway, I just tell her that, make her feel all good about herself. But anyway, Jesus healed Peter's wife's mom. Hallelujah. So there's the third account. Verse 16 says, When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out his spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, we don't know how many there were. We just know there were multitudes, that it might be fulfilled, verse 17, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So we have four accounts here. We have the leper, the centurion servant. We have Peter's mother-in-law, and we have the many that were healed. And I think it's just, those, you can learn so much about the topic of divine healing in those 17 verses. And I'm going to show you five things. Today you're thinking, oh my gosh, five, it takes them forever to get through one. But we'll get you out of here quick. Remember, I got to leave today, and so you're safe today, praise God. But we'll just do what the Holy Ghost wants and get it out. But I want to show you five things that will help you in divine healing. And, you know, it's amazing in the body of Christ. So many churches, at least the ones I came from and the ones that she came from and the ones that a lot of ones I get to see, they major on one thing, and that's the topic of Jesus and salvation, which you ought to major in that. It's thank God for salvation. But I mean, you know, once you're born again, we don't need to stay at the cross. The Bible says that there are promises of God, plural. There's more than just one promise of God of salvation. There's things like divine healing, which we're going to look at today. There's prosperity. There's peace. There's supernatural protection. There's blessings for your children. There's all sorts of wonderful promises that God has for us. And so we need to become proficient in these things so we can walk in these things. Jesus paid for these things. And also, when things show up, we'll be ready for them. Glory to God. But number one, I want to show you, which is so important, the number one thing I want to show you is the willingness of Jesus to heal people. The willingness of Jesus to heal people. Of course, we look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Now notice what the leper said. Lord, if you will, or Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And you know, that's where a lot of people are in the body of Christ concerning anything with God. They know that he can, but they're not 100% sold out on the fact that he will or that he wants to. That's the way it was with this leper. He's like, Jesus, I've heard about you. I know you can do wonderful things. I'm not concerned with can you. I want to know if you will. Well, then we see in verse 3, Jesus quickly squashed that wrong doctrine. He said to him, Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, and said, I'm willing. Be thou clean. Glory to God. We go down to verse 6. It says, And saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will, or I am willing. He walks into Peter's house, sees his mother-in-law sick. Grace and mercy come into that lady. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see here in the Word that Jesus said, I'm willing in these cases. Now, why is it important to see this? You see, if you're stuck on God can, and you're not absolutely sold out on God will and God wants to for me, you'll never receive all that God has for you. You'll never walk into all that God has for you. Glory to God. You'll never walk into all that God has for you. And so you need to make sure that you're sold out. I'll just say it this way to you. Are you absolutely sold out and convinced? Just hold your fingers up high to her for the number. There you go. Yeah, that'll help her out. Praise the Lord. And hallelujah. And so anyways, let me ask you a question. Are you convinced 100% that God wants you blessed all the days of your life, no matter what? And that no matter what, he wants you blessed, that no matter what, he wants you healed, that when sickness enters on your doorstep or poverty enters on your doorstep, are you convinced that God wants to pull you out of that? Are you convinced that every single time he's not happy with you being sick, and not happy with you being poor? Are you convinced of that? If you're not convinced of that, this message is for you today. See, when sickness knocks on my door, poverty knocks on my door, I know God's my helper. God's my answer. God's not my problem. God's not my issue. Glory to God. God's the one that's going to bring me blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we look at John chapter 5 and verse 19. I want to show you something. John 5 and verse 19. Of course, if you're wondering what those numbers are up on the screen, that's for our parents. They get signed numbers for their kids. We're not playing bingo or anything like that, praise God. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Why is it a big deal that Jesus said, I will, or I'm willing? Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, notice this, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. Say, what does that mean? Well, if you read the book, you know there's a whole chapter about this thing called the Jesus rule. Jesus, in these two verses, this blessed me so much learning about this stuff. Jesus in these two verses said, I can only do on planet Earth the 33 and a half years that I was alive. I can only do what I look into heaven and see my Father doing. I only here on earth can do exactly what God wants me to do. So when Jesus says, I am willing to heal, he can't say that on his own accord. Jesus was not on his own program. He just gets done telling us in these two verses, I only do the will of the Father. That means when somebody comes to him with sickness and disease, Jesus glances into heaven and he sees the Father saying, yes, heal them. Yes, heal them. Glory to God. If you want to know who your God is, take a look at the ministry of Jesus. So many people have a backwards picture of who God is. You know, we have to be so careful in our camp. What do you mean by our camp? I don't know if you know this, if you've been here for a long time. I don't know if people really are thankful enough or just don't have the revelation of how blessed you are to receive the caliber of the Word of God you get. I don't mean the preaching. I don't mean the preacher. I mean the revelation that we scrape off the Word that most places aren't even getting a lick. I mean, I'm talking the majority of people are not being taught this stuff. And that's, again, not puffing Family Church up. There's other churches that are doing it that don't have the name Family Church. It ain't a Family Church thing. It's a Word of God thing. But so many times in our camp, I think maybe we can take it for granted because we hear about the promises. We hear about the prosperity. We hear about the blessings that God wants you to have an abundant life. And so many times we hear about those things and they're wonderful and they're good and we should want those things. But we try to go after them and try to get them by going through a formula or going through a set of steps. Listen, the way that Pastor Mike became proficient in faith and able to be victorious over things isn't because when things come on my doorstep, I go, okay, I got to do this step, then I do this step. No, it came from time for me developing a relationship with my God. Because I know who my daddy is. Faith is so simple to me. I don't have to try to drum up faith. I've spent time in the Word. That whole book is the absolute foundation and basis for all my faith. When I learned those principles in Bible school about God being good, and all the things that pointed and proved that God was good, and that he's my Father, and seeing that he's a better daddy than me. See, for God to say in his Word that he's a better daddy than me makes me really know he's a good daddy, because I know how good of a daddy I am. And I know how much I love my kids. And I know how much I'll never do anything to hurt them and steer them the wrong way and do everything I can to provide blessing. Yet God says he's better than me. See, I've taken time to find out who my God is. Taking time to find out who my daddy is, spent lots of time with him. And so many times in our camp, we just want to get the blessings, and we have no relationship with him. And there's a message coming down the pipeline about cultivating a relationship with God. So many people are just after his stuff. No, you need to be after him. And then when you're after him, the stuff comes. And the stuff comes very easy. Again, I am so sold out to the fact of who my dad is and how good he is to me. But it's taken time to look at that. And if you want to know who your God is, look at who Jesus is. Look at who Jesus is in the Word. Jesus was a direct picture of who God is. Glory to God. Jesus was a direct picture of who God was. And he said, I am willing. Glory to God. Go to Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. So number one, God's willing. Number one, God's willing. God wants to heal you. God's willing to heal. He wants to heal you, praise God. Do you know that, praise God? His answer is yes. He wants to heal you. He's willing, praise the Lord. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says this. You might say, well, you know, that was Jesus back then. Well, what does it say? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The same one, that went about healing, the same one that went about doing good, the same one that went about blessing, that Jesus is the same. Everybody say the same. The same. Yesterday. Well, we just read about yesterday, didn't we? We read about yesterday, didn't we? Hello, everyone. We just read about yesterday, didn't we? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just read about yesterday. Well, he's the same back in the Bible times. So many times people say, well, you know, it passed away. When Jesus went to heaven, or when the disciples died, the whole healing and the miracles and the signs and wonders, they left. Where does it say that in the Bible? All I know my Bible says is Jesus Christ, who is the epitome of healing, who is the epitome of willingness to heal, is the same yesterday, today, and when? Forever. He never changes. God's will is always yes when it comes to divine healing. It's always yes when it comes to divine healing. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says this. It says in Acts 10:38, Brother Hagin used to say this about people that just totally take the word out of context. He'd say, bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads. And I have to say, I just wonder about people's stupid heads sometimes. Heather, will you pull up Acts 10:38? I want to show people about this Jesus. Remember, Jesus is only, all Jesus was God on the earth. Right. Jesus was a physical representation of who God was. Amen. Everywhere Jesus went, he blessed, didn't he? Yeah. If God, okay, because sometimes people say God destroys, God hurts, God kills. No. If God does that, Jesus would have to do it. Right. He would have had to do that in his ministry. But every time he glanced into heaven, he saw love, mercy, healing, prosperity, provision, supply, grace, hallelujah, peace, protection, all those things. Well, look at this. This is what I wonder about people's stupid heads. How God anointed, so God did this on purpose to Jesus, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good. The only reason Jesus could do good is because he glanced into heaven. I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but I'm doing it on purpose. Because you'd be amazed at Christians and the things they tell me. God is wonderful. He's good. And the Bible says he went about doing good. Why? Because he was looking in heaven. And the only thing he could do was good. Because he said, I'm bound to do what Daddy wants me to do. Who went about doing good and healing all, now notice this, that were oppressed of the who? The devil. So sickness is of who?
The devil.
For God was with him. Now this is what's amazing. God is not partnering with the devil.
That's right.
God and the devil are exact opposites. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I've come to give them life and life more abundantly. Don't ever forget this. God is good, the devil's bad. It will help you so much in your walk with God. God good, devil bad. God, everybody say, God good, devil bad. Right? You'd be amazed at the things that people say. But notice it says sickness is an oppression of the devil. And God anointed Jesus to heal, praise God, to get that thing off people. Aren't you glad? Well, then we saw Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You might think, oh, I wish he was here. Oh, it's so sad. You know, I mean, I can believe that if I could get Jesus to lay hands on me, if I could just get Jesus to be here like he was then. Well, go to John 16 and verse 7. I want to help you with that. This is number one, we saw the willingness. Number two, we saw that he's the same. And number three, are you ready for an eye-popping statement?
Yeah.
It's better for you that Jesus isn't here. It's better for you that Jesus isn't here.
Amen.
I'm glad you're gone. Oh, it got quiet in here. He doesn't mind me saying that. I'm glad you're gone. So I'm just hooking up with what he said. I'll show you. Prove it to me, Pastor Mike. Okay. John 16 and verse 7. Number 3, it's better that he's gone concerning divine healing. John 16, 7 says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Well, there it is. God's not a man that he should lie, so Jesus can't lie. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or that word in the Greek is profitable, or better. It is better for you that I go away. That's why I can look into heaven and say, I'm glad you're gone. Now, I can't wait for you to come back, but I'm glad you're gone. Amen. He says, for if I do not go away, the Comforter, talking about the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, if I don't go away, he won't come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So he's saying, for the Holy Spirit to come, which if you study the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Bible says their powers are equal. They're the exact same. They're three, yet they're one. I know it's hard to understand in your natural mind, but they're the same. Glory to God. And so the Lord is saying, listen, if I go away, I'll send my Spirit. I'll send me. But see, the thing is, he's going to dwell on the inside of every Christian. If you wanted healing back then, you had to go to the source. You had to go to the source. You had to seek him out. And let me tell you what, if he was here today doing the things that he was doing in the age of internet and blogs and MySpace and Twitter, you'd never get to him. It would be blown up all over the place, and good luck getting to Jesus. So it's better that he's gone. Why? Because now he's everywhere. Now the healer, the Spirit of God, is dwelling on the inside of you. That Jesus that had power to go about healing, when he touched people at work, that is now inside of you.
Praise God.
It is. Now, most people aren't aware of that, and so they don't live according to that reality. But it's the truth. Say, what does that mean? Romans 8, 11. Let me show you. Hallelujah. Romans 8, and verse 11. Remember, the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. But if, verse 11, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And does it? It sure does. If that Spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, now notice this, shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. What is he talking about? Your flesh and bones being made alive, being energized, being rejuvenated, glory to God, by his Spirit that dwells in you. You have, ladies and gentlemen, the healer on the inside of you. You have the healer on... People aren't getting that. You'd be way more excited if you were getting this. You have the healer on the inside of you. The one whose answer is always yes. The one who answers always by promises in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. All the promises of God are yes and amen. His answer is always yes. You have that Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. Hallelujah. It's better for you that he's gone. Number 4, we'll go to Matthew 8, verse 17. See, we're getting through this quick. Matthew 8 and verse 17. Okay, so now we know God's willing to heal. Now we know that Jesus is the same. Now we know he dwells on the inside of us. Well, what do we need to start doing then? The next 2 points are what you have to start doing to receive your divine healing. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, or Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, for time's sake, you can write this down. Matthew is quoting Isaiah the prophet. He's quoting Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, that says, Jesus bore our sicknesses, he bore our pains, and then in verse 4 it says that by his stripes we are healed. Are healed. When he did it on the cross, that's when we became healed. And, that word healed in the Hebrew is the word rapha, which means to be made better, to be made physically better, to be made whole. So the Bible's saying that Jesus took our sicknesses, took our diseases, so you wouldn't have to carry them. Now, I'm going to bring out a point to you that's going to make this really, really alive to you, to make this really, really real to you, and to bring out, it'll make you have a whole new appreciation for what Jesus did, but also it'll start taking your focus. You know, so many times people are so possessive of their sickness. I'll give you an example. there's been this, I get right now, I didn't have it all week, and I get into the truck to go preach at Olean, and it starts acting up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm completely fine all week, and then I get ready to preach or sing, and it's just the devil acting up. But I caught myself a couple weeks ago saying, man, my cough. I was calling it my cough, taking possession, my cough. Wait a second, but the Bible says I'm healed. And so I said, oh, no, I repent. That ain't my cough. I don't have anything to do with that cough. That's not mine. But people get so possessive of it, and you get so focused on your sickness. And again, nobody's saying it doesn't hurt. Nobody's saying it's not uncomfortable. Nobody's saying that professional doctors who have years of schooling and are so smart naturally, we're not saying they're not right. But, amen, but there's the word, amen. But we get so possessive, and we focus on our sickness. We do this with our poverty. We do this with our fear. We do this with everything. And we get so focused on it. Well, let's take a look at this here. The Bible says in verse 17 that Jesus took your sickness. So wait a minute, Pastor Mike. What do you mean Jesus took my sickness? Well, he didn't take it in heaven. And if you study his ministry on earth, he wasn't sick on the earth. He's not sick in heaven now, so where did he take it? He took it when he was on the cross. When he was on the cross, I'm going to prove it to you. Go with me to Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Wait till you hear this. Some of you heard this before, but it'll bless you. Oh, it'll bless you. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Now, this portion of Scripture is talking about Isaiah looking into the future and seeing Jesus on the cross. Okay? That's okay? Everybody with me here. Praise God. I want to make sure I'm just not preaching to myself here. Isaiah 52 and verse 14, it says, and many were astonished, that's blind to us in the King James, it means astonished at you, for his visage or his appearance, and I'm going to read it in three other translations that'll make it easier for you to understand. His appearance or visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. What in the heck does that mean? Well, let's look at it. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. But he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. Now, get this. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured past recognition, is what the Message said. Listen to what the Amplified says about Jesus on the cross. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. You ever seen a horror film and some of the things are on that, those things? He became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond the sons of men, but just as many were astonished at him. Listen to what it says in the NIV. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, now here we go, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Why was he an object of horror? Why was he people astonished at him? Because all of a sudden, a human being that was on the cross didn't look like a human being anymore. The Bible says that his appearance was so disfigured and so marred on that cross that it was beyond human likeness, and it caused people to be in shock and to be in horror. Well, let me tell you something. If you study crucifixions, you don't get disformed beyond human recognition by a nail in your hands and a nail in your feet. You don't get looking beyond human recognition when people whip you, because they did that to the same. They did it to the two criminals that were on either side of him. They did the same thing: whipped him, beat him, put him on the cross, and yet they hung there, and they looked human. And if you look at, like, when you study crucifixions, they don't say also that transformed people into not looking human. But the Bible says that Jesus didn't even look human being on the cross. Nails and a crown of thorns and lashes to your back do not change the fact that you look human. You might look like a bad human. You might look like you're a hurting unit, but you still look human. The word is saying that he was ruined beyond human recognition. Well, before I tell you why, also, if you study crucifixions, it would take days for people on the cross to die. And so what they would do as mercy killings is they would break their legs. Because what was happening is when people would hang, they'd push up with their legs to try to get air, and it would sustain them and keep them alive. And so as an act of mercy, they'd break their legs and they couldn't push up, and it would cause them to die quicker. Jesus died in 3 hours. Hours Jesus died. Just like that. Not because of the nails. Not because of the crown of thorns. The reason Jesus didn't look human, go back to Matthew 8:17, please, Heather. The reason he didn't look human and the reason he died so quick, They didn't break his legs. It says not a bone's broken his body. The reason he looked that way is because the Bible says that he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The human body is not meant to sustain every single sickness and every single disease that has a name, that's been discovered, that has a cure for now, that we haven't even discovered yet. Every flesh-eating bacteria, every single thing fell on Jesus at one time. Of course he would die. Of course he wouldn't look human anymore. What it would do to his body and his skin and his bones in a moment's time. I mean, there's diseases we don't even have a name for yet. They were all put on him. Diseases that absolutely wiped out thousands of people that maybe we have cures for now was placed on him in a moment's time. 3 hours, he was dead. All of a sudden going from looking from like a human being to people becoming like, oh my God, what is that? It doesn't even look human anymore. Well, it wouldn't. I've studied a little bit about these flesh-eating bacteria. It's amazing. You see pictures of what it does to the skin. Can you imagine what Jesus looked like? The movies don't get it right. I don't care how bad the movies make it. They don't even come close to going to telling you what Jesus did for you. But my point is, he took your sickness because he doesn't want you to bear it. He took the flu. He took AIDS. He took cancer. He took tuberculosis. He took arthritis. He took anything that you can put a name to. He took it on the cross so you wouldn't have to, so you could walk in divine health. And until you start seeing the sickness that you've claimed as your own, until you start seeing it on the cross, I see this cough on him. I see him up there gasping for air, not being able to talk. Because whatever this is, as minor as it is, it was on him. The fever that you get, the flu, the chills, the everything placed on him in a moment's time. Glory to God. And until you start seeing it, you need to start saying to your sickness, he took this away from me. Jesus, you took it. You took it so I don't have to. You took it. And then it brings me to my fifth point, and we'll close with this. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. So number one, we see the willingness of Jesus, which is just the willingness of God to heal. We see that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His healing power didn't pass away. We saw that it's better that he's gone because that healer lives on the inside of you. And we saw that you can be free from your sickness and disease because he took it away. He took it away, glory to God. Hebrews 6, verse 12. Dr. Dufresne, a man of God, I call my spiritual grandpa, who's with Jesus now, he had a vision back when he just started coming into the church. He got born again, and he just wanted to serve. And so he was serving as an usher, and they took up communion. And he didn't understand what communion was about. He came out of the Catholic Church, and he just didn't understand, why do we do this? And he said all of a sudden the roof opened up on a building. And he saw Jesus on the cross, and all of a sudden he saw words start flying through the air. And these words would hit Jesus, and the Bible says his body was marred. And when the words would hit Jesus, it would jar Jesus. It would jar him. Well, he started looking closer at the words, and the words were tuberculosis, boom, hitting him. Cancer, hitting him. And he had no idea what was going on. Until someone showed, he shared with somebody that knew the Bible, what am I seeing? I'm seeing Jesus on the cross, and I'm seeing words of sickness and disease. He said words that he recognized and words that he had no idea what they were just pouncing on Jesus, pummeling him, and he's jarring every time they're hitting him. Cancer's hitting him. AIDS is hitting him. Flu's hitting him. And he's seeing this vision. And someone showed him and said, that's exactly what Isaiah the prophet saw. See, when Isaiah wrote about this, that he took this. This was thousands of years before Jesus even did it. Isaiah saw the same thing. He saw Jesus on the cross, and he saw all the sickness of the world pummeling Jesus and hitting him. And Dr. Dufresne saw that. And Dr. Dufresne preached for years about Jesus taking it away. And so many people were healed under his ministry because he got their focus off of themselves and get the focus on Jesus. But how does it come now that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises? Faith is simply this: believing God in the face of opposition and contrary to what God says. I always use Abraham as the example. God called Abraham a daddy, didn't he? But there was no child. But God expected Abraham to believe the word more than the circumstances. God expects you to believe that you're healed right now before it ever shows up in your body. That's faith. That's what faith is. is taking what the Word says and speaking that over your life. God expects when the symptoms are the worst for you to stand your ground and say, I am the healed of the Lord. Amen. Say, that's crazy. No, that's faith.
Yeah.
That's faith. And I'm so thankful for the Abraham example, because God could have looked like a Looney Tune.
Sure.
But God doesn't think like we think. And he called Abraham a daddy when he was 100 years old without a child.
Right.
He said, oh, you're a daddy and your wife's a mommy and she's 90 with a dead womb. God wants you to start calling yourself healed when the doctors say there's no hope. When the doctors say there's no answer, God expects you to say, oh, there's an answer. Jesus took this away from me. I am the healed of the Lord. When poverty hits you, and it looks like God wants you to declare you're the rich of the Lord, that you have full supply. See, people say, I just can't wrap my mind around that. Well, then you're going to be a doubting Thomas the whole life, someone that needs to see it before they get it. That's not how it works. That's not how God does things. And so once you get sold on the fact, man, healing's mine, Jesus took it, well, then you stand your ground. And you get in that place where you say, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm not moving from this place of healing. And the Bible says, it calls it holding fast to the confession or the profession of your faith. What does it mean to hold fast to it? When sickness and opposition come, you hold on to that thing. You say, oh no, this thing's leaving my body. I am the healed of the Lord. Yeah, that's how it works. That's how you get into other places. Now, this just got put on my heart, and so I'm going to obey. I didn't do this last night. But we're going to lay hands on people at the end of service if you have any sickness. But I'm going to play a song, and it's a very dramatic-sounding song, but listen to the words of it. It's actually, they put it in a song form of what the vision that Dr. Dufresne saw. Well, all Dr. Dufresne, see, Dr. Dufresne's vision doesn't mean anything if there's not Isaiah 53. His vision was found backed up by the Bible. But that song, they wrote a song about what the prophet saw. And I'm going to put that on. And there's going to be an atmosphere of healing. And I want you to think about what's in your body. The Bible says one avenue or one way we can get this thing gone in your life is by laying hands on the sick.
Yeah.
And they'll recover. So we're going to play this song. I just encourage you just to sit there reverently, worshiping God, focusing on your healing, listening to the words. And then we're going to call people up and lay hands on people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just begin to worship him right now. Glory to God. Just begin to worship him. We bless you, Lord. Again, this song... Actually, what I'm going to play first is I'm going to play Dr. Dufresne's, what he said about it.
Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 tell us, surely he had borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and our diseases. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. As a young man in my 30s, I stood in a local church, along with other ushers, ready to receive communion. Standing there, I told the Lord, I don't really understand what communion's all about. And all at once, the roof of that church disappeared, and I saw a vision. And I saw Jesus hanging on the cross, and then I saw the words of sickness and disease fly through the air, each one striking him. I saw the words of cancer, tuberculosis, arthritis, and other diseases fly through the air. I saw words of disease that I recognized and words I didn't recognize. The words came slower at first, then they began to come faster and faster. As each struck him, his whole body jolted and was jarred. I was seeing every sickness and disease being laid on him, and each word struck him, and I saw what the prophet Isaiah saw. He was marred more than any man. He didn't even resemble a man anymore. On him was laid every sickness and disease. As Matthew 8:17 tells us, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Where did he take them? He took them away from you and me.
Start seeing it on him. Start seeing it on him. Hallelujah.
Hungry to know, I look to and a vision came to me. As I stood there that day, the roof disappeared, and I saw Calvary.
I saw Jesus on the cross hanging there for me. Then through the sky I saw words fly of sickness and disease.
The words came slow, then faster they flew as each one struck him. I saw every sickness and every disease laid on him. He took it away. All sickness and disease, he took it away, away from you and me. He took it away, all sickness and disease. Took it away, away from you and me.
As each word struck him, his body jarred and was marred more than any man.
With his vision I did see all that he did for me. I did understand
that he took our infirmities, our sickness did bear. As the prophet of old did see, where did he take them? He took them away,
away from you.
There's an anointing in here for healing. Anything that you're going through at all, come forward. Don't be afraid. Take advantage of what God has for you. Come on, come forward. Praise God. And a little bit of instruction for people as you come forward. When I lay hands on you, the power of God's going to go through your body. And from now on, don't see that sickness on you anymore. You see that sickness and that disease on him, glory to God. And you start saying, he took it, and by his stripes I am healed, glory to God. Just come on up and line up if you want to receive healing. Ushers. In the name of Jesus, we command all sickness and disease to go out of her body, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We thank you for perfect and divine health. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, be free. All sickness, all disease, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. In the name of Jesus, be free from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Glory to God. No more sickness, no more disease. See it on him. In the name of Jesus, we command all sickness, all disease to be driven out of her body, head to toes, healed and whole all the days of her life. Hallelujah. And from now on, if you've got hands laid on you, you walk back and you say, Father, I thank you I'm healed. For once and for all, I thank you I'm healed. I see that on Jesus. I see that on Jesus. Is there anybody else, if you're wondering, what are you doing up here? The Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Glory to God. Anybody else dealing with anything before we close the service? Anybody else want to receive divine healing? We've had wonderful testimonies doing this. Glory to God. Come on, Lord. I'm okay. Let's pray for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Father, I thank you she'll be healed and whole. Father, it'll be a testimony that she can go back and tell her classmates how good God is and get them all turned on for Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. Anybody else want to come forward and receive healing today? Don't ask me to do it after service. The anointing's here right now. Anybody else? Going once. Going twice. Father, we just thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for divine healing. But Lord, more importantly, we thank you for salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross for us. If you're listening to this by live stream, or if you're in this building, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Well, you can be sure of that by just receiving Jesus. The Bible says if you ask him to come into your heart, that he will save you. It doesn't matter how many bad things you've done. It doesn't matter how many good things you've done. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. And so if you can ask yourself this question, ask yourself, if today were my last day on earth, would I go to heaven? If the answer is 100% yes, it doesn't matter that you've gone to church. You need to accept Jesus. Is there anybody in here with heads bowed and eyes closed? You want to receive Jesus this morning? Just go ahead and lift your hand in the air if you've never done that before. Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. Anybody else that wants to receive Jesus? It's a simple decision. It doesn't cost you any money. You don't have to become a member of this church. It's just you're recognizing Jesus is real. He died for me. I want him to be a part of my life. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Just go ahead and lift your hand if you want to receive him. Oh, Father, we had a hand, and I don't know who all's listening by live stream. So if you raised your hand, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to all pray it with you. You won't be on your own. But go ahead, if you raised your hand, mean this with all your heart. And if you're listening by live stream and you want to pray this prayer, just jump in with us and mean this with all your heart. Everybody say this along with the person that raised their hand. Say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Well, go back, meditate on these scriptures. God's a healer. He wants you healed all the days of your life. He loves you. Again, I got to get right out of here after service, so please, I'm so sorry I can't stick around to talk, but have a blessed rest of the week, and we'll see you next Sunday. You're dismissed.